Welcome to I'll Marry You, a podcast with me, Olivia Coleman, full of tips and tricks from the UK wedding scene, interviews with industry experts, and a whole lot of oversharing. Morning has broken like the first morning. Oh, spring is here. Spring has sprung. We are into the next phase of the eclipse. I've had a really long day and it's not even 4 p.m. Do you know what I mean? I hope you all had just the most wonderful Easter. Didn't even get one Easter egg, did I? But that's okay because I'm a slim fast, as you know. You know, I'm trying to cut back, aren't I? Plus Lola got about 72, so I'll eat at least 50 of them. She's only 4. She can't handle that kind of chocolate. You know what I mean? We had a lovely time. We had lots of family and lots of friends time, which was great. And then I had a wedding on Easter Sunday, which was just gorgeous, at the Mount Without in Bristol with the best team, Chloe Mary Photography and Adam Wing Films, and my absolute boss babe, Kirsten, the little wedding helper. She was styling the whole thing with flowers from Rambling Rose in Bristol for Billy and Alex. And it was just such a beautiful day. It was black tie. Everyone was looking very, very smart. It held off, the rain held off, so that was good. That was great because, you know, last week, positively torrential, wasn't it? Biblical, those storms. Animals were pairing up left, right and centre. It was too much. So I was very glad that it was dry on the wedding day. It was wonderful. Do you know what I thought? I remembered something I wanted to share with you. Last Easter, it was fun, but probably one of my most embarrassing live, think before you speak moments, which does happen a lot because I say what I am thinking, and if I don't say it, my face does, you know? So last Easter, we were at a farm, like a sort of kids' open day in a field, bouncy castles, some fairground rides, lots of petting animals, like a petting zoo, you know? Which to me sounds like something you'd stumble across in the streets of Amsterdam, but this was child-friendly. And I remember me and Lola and my husband and the friends we were with, we were looking at the little donkeys in their pen. And a £10 note fell out of James's pocket and went into the pen. And everyone was like, oh no. And he was like, I'll get it. I was like, no, you don't get it. Like, you don't know what these animals are like, but not even that. Because let's be honest, you know, if they hurt you, it could in fact be an improvement. But I don't want to get kicked out because you look like you're about to poach one of the bloody donkeys. You know what I mean? So everyone was very excited about this dramatic event and was like, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. Carol, I'm thinking about it. All right. Anyway, I saw a woman who was working there. She was wearing a wonderful sort of farming scenario outfit, like a fleece, you know, hair greasy, but not in an intentional way. No makeup, so slightly muddy fingernails. She worked there. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just know these things, don't you? So I just sort of strode up to her and I kindly said, I'm so sorry, but my husband just dropped a £10 note in the donkey enclosure. Can you go and get it for me, please? And she looked at me and I thought, sort of oddly, and I thought, sorry, I don't know if that's like the bit you're looking after, but I'm a bit nervous to go myself or send him in. If you could go and get it, that'd be great. You know, if it was a fiver, maybe not, but it's a tenner, you know, cost of living crisis. And so she went to do it. And then as she sort of approached the gate, she turned back around to me and she said, I don't work here. I'm just visiting. Probably the most awkward moment of any national holiday. What a memories for, eh? Can you imagine? What can I say? I just assumed, given your attire and general lack of self-care, but I didn't. I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then I proceeded to give her a £10 note. No, I didn't. Anywho, that was last Easter. This Easter was much better. I am very excited because this week's podcast episode is with the gorgeous Ellie from Go Hen. And they are the most fabulous, wonderful team. They're a brilliant, brilliant company. And I was a little hesitant going in because, you know, I don't like organized fun. And so I thought, oh, this is essentially their company ethos, right? They sell hen parties. That is organized fun. So I went in with an open mind and I thought, let's just let them convince me. And they did. And I think they're wonderful. So enjoy part one of two with my interview with Go Hen. We have got with us today Ellie from Go Hen.
That's the one.
Welcome. So Go Hen, I want to start from the beginning. What is it? Who are you? Where are you? What's going on? Tell me everything.
All of the news.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, essentially, we're a company based in Bath. The best city, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. Holy great. We started, well, it was started originally as our brother company, Stagweb, in like 2002. Because our co-founder, or our founding father, I was going to say then.
Our founding father
was trying to plan for a stag do and realised it was a nightmare.
2002?
Yeah.
Was there internet then?
Well, I don't know, actually.
Drew laughed at me. Was there internet then?
I feel like it was...
Year? How old am I?
I don't know. How old are you?
Was there internet?
Yes.
Yes, okay, right.
Was there internet in 2002?
Was it dial-up?
Well, so we were in like year nine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it was dial-up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it was that era where if you had internet, but if you went on it on your phone, it was a panic.
Or like when you had to go to get on the internet, someone had to come off the landline.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. And then your mum would be on the phone. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm interrupting you. That'll happen a lot. But how, that would have been if there wasn't. And let's just say there wasn't internet. How would you plan something?
Well, I don't know.
Not just a hen or a stag. So he was just going about his business.
Yeah, and he realised that it was really frustrating to try and get everyone together and plan something and coordinate in one place. So he decided that he should set up something to do that better.
What was he doing before that?
Oh, that is a good question. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest.
It's irrelevant, isn't it? Who cares?
It's kind of irrelevant, yeah.
The time before Go Hen and Stag Do is dead to us.
It's dead to us. Yeah.
Is Stagweb still a thing?
Yes, still a thing. Very much so.
That's wonderful.
It is.
We'll do
wonderful.
That on another episode.
We'll do that on another
episode.
Well,
let's milk it.
Let's do it.
So he started the company in 2002.
Yes. And essentially he was working with kind of local suppliers and making kind of relationships so that you could book everything in one place rather than having to go to kind of individual people and pay individual amounts of money in different places and coordinate everyone together. And it kind of just expanded and became a massive thing. And then he launched GoHen, and GoHen is kind of really, really grown over the last few 10 years.
When did he
years.
Start that then?
I believe that was, well, I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up. That's terrible. I should know that, shouldn't I?
Lottie.
Go on,
Lottie's
do a Google.
Lottie's our social media person.
She is our social
She's
media
She's like when they
person.
Don't know something on telly and they put their finger in their ear and they're like, man's telling me. The man in my ear is telling me. 2000 and something.
See, this is why we would need internet. I don't know what I did before it. When was GoHen established?
I don't know what you did before.
I don't know what I did.
We're far too young to understand.
Yeah, true. That I'm far time. Too youthful.
So he started it with that, and then he went into GoHen at a time that Lottie will tell us shortly.
Yes.
So we'll edit it in.
We'll edit it in.
We'll edit it in.
You can do some magic work, right, Drew?
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Do not let me get fired.
So, for not knowing the facts. So I think that's quite forward thinking, actually, because I don't imagine that many other places were doing that.
No, that's it. I mean, it was super forward thinking because it takes everything out of it. Nobody wants to spend a huge amount of time and effort when they've got a whole wedding to plan on a hen do. Normally that goes to the maid of honour or to the mother of the hen. Or
does it?
Sometimes.
Stop.
Yeah.
Actually, I trust my mum. I wouldn't trust my mother-in-law.
No?
No, she'd end up with a life drawing of my husband.
Of your husband?
She just... Probably. She doesn't listen to the podcast, I don't think.
Oh, God, let's hope not. We can edit that out as well, Drew.
Yeah. Lottie's got the answer.
You said it, 2002.
2002, there we go. That's the same year. When was Stagweb?
Oh, well done. Yeah. Well done, Ellie. She knows her stuff. Don't buy her, promote her.
Thank you.
We wrote on our website, so if that's wrong.
The website's wrong. Yeah. Oh, God, I know. I wouldn't have my mother plan my hen do.
No, I mean, we do. It's becoming more of a thing, I think. I guess because everybody's got such hectic lives now. But... I don't think I would let my mother plan my hen do either.
So when it started, how many people, was it a big company at first?
No. I believe it was just Simon and like one other person. And
was it just based in Bath?
Yeah, so they've always been... Well, the original office was in Bradford-on-Avon, funnily enough.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And then they moved over to Bath maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
And does he still work for the company?
He lives in Australia now, so he...
Oh, so it's doing well. It's,
yeah.
Financially.
Yeah, he moved over to Melbourne. So he is still our CEO, but he kind of... He's taken a step back from it, and it's run by our MD, Steve, who is really cool.
So would you call...
And also pays my wages.
We love Steve.
We love Steve.
Steve, well done. Steve, she's got a hole in her tights. She can't afford new tights, so she needs that pay rise. Would you call... Is there like a tagline for GoHen? Is it a directory? What is like...
It's not... I wouldn't call it a directory. I'd call it more of like... We're your assistance team. So essentially, when you book through us, we put everything in one place so you don't have to worry about speaking to loads and loads of different people to try and coordinate times and change everything and make sure everybody's paid on time, and we'll collate your perfect event for you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get it on. You'll get your own little VIP section where you can look at
what you're doing,
which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then all you do is send a link in a WhatsApp group chat, because everyone has one of those for a hen party or whatever you're using, and everybody signs themselves up, and then you don't have to do anything else because we'll chase them for payments and all that kind of stuff.
Do you know what? When I was looking at a website this morning, because nothing like, you know, planning ahead, I did read about you, one of your like USPs is that you chase people for money.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Huge.
Chasing people for money.
Oh, it's so awkward as well. When it's a group of people.
Yes, people are very funny about money. Us Brits.
That we are. We don't like to talk about money.
We don't like to talk about money.
We don't like to do it. And also.
And people get embarrassed, I think.
They do. And I think it's really hard because a hen party is by its nature a very weird mix of people. It's like your mum, your mum-in-law, probably your gran, your aunt, your cousins. And then it's like your friends from school, your friends from work, like your friends outside of this. And then maybe like the sister of the person you're... It's just like a really random mix of people.
You're making me feel bad. I didn't invite any of those to my hen party.
That's a wise choice.
Literally, I didn't invite any of them. I was like, no, I'm not having any boring old people. I could, the thing, do you know what though, is that I couldn't invite my mother-in-law, and I think to this day she probably resents me for it. But that's another podcast.
I don't know. Mother-in-laws are a tricky one. I think.
Don't get me. Yeah. Podcast. But I didn't invite her because I don't want to talk about her son's sexual exploits
in front of her.
In front of her.
Yeah, it feels a bit weird, doesn't it?
Like, I'm not saying that was the only topic of conversation throughout my whole hen party.
Mm.
But we played games and we talked about his willy.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
and I don't want to talk about his willy in front of his mum.
Well, no.
She's seen it, but not for a few years.
And probably not in his adult life, no.
I didn't know what you were going to say then. Probably not in his pun.
Yeah, I think it's a really weird one. And it's like a lot of, you don't know the people necessarily. That you're, you know, if you've been friends with the person that's getting married since school, and then she's obviously grown up and had a life with meeting lots of different people that you don't know. So it's already a weird thing. So then having to meet these people and be like, hi, can I please have some money from you?
Yes.
Feels really uncomfortable.
To give money to a stranger does.
Weirdly uncomfortable. So it's like...
And you don't know if you trust them.
Well, exactly.
And then you've got to please everyone.
Exactly. And there was that story recently, I don't know if you saw it, about the woman who took a load of money for a hen do from the friends of the bride, and then just...
Stop
her
it.
Her dad had already paid for the hen do.
Stop it.
Yeah, and she just pocketed it all.
What happened to the hen go ahead?
Well, yeah, but I think she got I think she got removed as a maid of honour.
No shit. Should she not be arrested?
Well,
is that not stealing?
Well, you would have thought so. I think she had to pay it back, but essentially she had a load of personal debt, and she'd seen it as like
that's awful.
It's really bad.
I mean, if I'm honest, so for Christmas I buy all my mum's Christmas presents from my dad, and then normally he just gives me like a lump sum of money and I spend it, and then he asked for receipts and I was like, oh, I've lost them. But actually what I do is if I buy something for 18, I say it's 20.
Well, yeah, because that's service charge, right?
Thank you. And he's my dad, but like I'm always going to round it up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like if my husband says, how much have you spent on food this week, thinking it's not enough, I'd be like 500, where it was like 402p. I'm rounding up, one of it.
Yeah.
So when people come to you then, let's play a fun game. Let's pretend I'm a maid of honour.
Excellent, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
A moch.
Have I ever been a moch? I've never been a moch.
Oh.
What the fuck is that about?
I don't know.
That's surprising, isn't it?
It's a bit worrying.
Oh.
What's wrong with you?
Well, no, okay, so I know. Actually, no. Okay, I'll tell you why. And now I'm thinking...
I'll tell you for why.
Yeah. I'm thinking through my head who's out of the people I know actually listen to my podcast. One of my best friends doesn't because I swear too much and her daughter's always around. But she since has said that she should have had me as her more. But she chose someone else because someone else was bossier than me and she wanted a certain hen do in a certain place at a certain time. And yeah. She knew that I was too polite to be like, yeah, let's do that. So she picked the bossy bitch.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's not the worst reason to get relegated, is it?
Still, I wasn't moch.
You weren't moch, though.
I've never been a moch.
I've never been a moch.
In this fictitious world, I'm a moch and my bride is Jennifer Lawrence because we're best friends.
Yep.
And I think, oh God, this is so stressful. I'm so busy being Olivia Colman celebrant. I don't have time for all this. So I'm going to go to Go Hen.
Yeah.
So I get onto your website. Is it all like website based or can I call you?
You can call us if you want to.
I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're more than welcome.
But do most people just do it online?
To be honest, yeah. I think everything's done online these days.
Well, you can do that at work on the sly, can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, that's it. You can do it on the side.
Yeah, exactly. So I come to you and what's my first step?
I mean, your first step would probably be to pick where you want to go. That's kind of step one.
Okay.
What city do you want?
Right,
do you want to go international,
one.
UK?
Let's do step one. So by this point, do I need to have an idea of budget and number of people?
Ideally, yes. I would say so, because I think it's really important to talk about budget openly with your group, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to go in and be like, you can easily get clouded by the fact that it's your best friend and you want them to have, you know, it's Jennifer Lawrence, for Christ's sake.
Well, exactly. She's got some dough.
She's got some money.
But so, she is really down to earth.
But
she's
you
so
don't
sweet.
Know, I'm sure she is, but you don't know about her friends. You know, you've got to factor that in as a thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to kind of gauge an idea of budget that people can actually afford. The good thing is...
Who makes that decision?
Normally it's a group discussion.
Is it?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that's the best, especially
where
now.
Where do you even start?
Well, most people make
I would
a group.
Go to Jennifer, no? I would go to the bride and say, what do you like? For my hen do, my moch came to me and said, what do you want?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important part of it.
Well, I would say so.
I would say so because you are the most important person.
Thank
so,
you so much.
So to gauge an idea of what the person wants and therefore what kind of affordability you have within the group.
Right.
And once you have that, then you can speak to us and we can start building within your budget to get as close as possible, if not exactly what you want.
And what would you say is the average? Because I would imagine that UK is actually probably not that much cheaper than going abroad these days.
It's not hugely, no.
Because accommodation in
it's
the UK
very
is
expensive,
so
yeah.
expensive.
It can be, yeah. I mean, the average for us for two nights accommodation and activities is £174 per person in the UK.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's cheap.
It's not bad.
Let's not say cheap. Inexpensive.
It's affordable.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Sales. She's
and
in sales.
For,
that's
well,
very
no, terrible
good for two
salesperson.
Nights. Accommodation
nights.
And activities.
On average, £174. Obviously, it depends on where you're going.
Yeah.
For international, it's around £199 per person.
Well, still.
Still not bad. But it really depends on where you're going, because obviously cities like Bath and Brighton and London, they're going to be more expensive.
Than Hull.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't do Hull. There's a reason for that.
We don't. Hashtag,
no offence to Hull.
We don't do Hull.
Yeah, hashtag we don't do Hull. Didn't they get a, like...
Most miserable city?
No, it was like a... Oh, they... Well, no.
But, I offend people. Sorry.
No, sorry.
Sorry,
from
people
Hull.
From Hull.
No, they got like a tourism award or something for like, I don't know, historical interest or something. I can't
You're
remember
very
what
well
it was.
Read, aren't you?
Thanks.
Do you read the newspaper?
Not anymore. It's so stressful.
Yeah. I just read Daily Mail Showbiz, but we're going off.
This. Yeah.
So, okay. So yes, the price depends a lot on where you go. That's a given. In terms of like in your experience, how long have you been with the company?
Oh, 5.5 years now.
What's the least people have wanted to spend? Or what's the number they come to and you're like, sweetheart, God bless you, but there's nothing we can do.
Yeah,
for you.
I mean, we've had people come to us before with a budget of £80 per person wanting two nights and activities and you think...
What? No.
Yeah, that's...
So
that's,
what do you say? Like,
we just have to explain, you know, the average budget is this. If this is what you're looking for, here's the cheaper option in terms of like the low end and here's the higher end. And then there's things in between, but you're going to have to go and reassess your budget. Or you can just do activities with us for this rate. And
what's
then you can
the
look
most
for accommodation.
People have spent with you?
Oh, blimey. I mean, when you get to like Croatia and places like that, £600 a person.
No.
Yeah, I think I had a stag do once that was nearly £800 per person in Iceland. We've had a Vegas one before that was nearly 2,000 per person with flights.
Vegas, baby.
Yeah, I mean, come on, that was fancy.
What are... So we picked the place. So I come to you and I say, right, okay, I want... Okay, if it was me, because I was planning my own... my next hen party for my next husband. Bath is my favourite city. Bath is one of my three favourite cities in the world.
What's the other two?
New York.
Oh, awesome.
And Barcelona.
Oh, great. Great cities.
So, and I saw on your website that Bath and Barcelona are up there with the best cities for Hindus.
They are indeed.
They're very popular.
They are really popular. Barcelona's amazing.
I know, I'm obsessed.
Obsessed with it.
It's my happy place. I have a tattoo of the, it's like the pattern that you see on the pavement.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so it's like I'm always walking in Barcelona.
That's cute.
Barcelona!
I always like the Gaudi...
That's a bit too arty for me. But I know where the Zaras are.
Oh, there you go. Thanks. I mean, there's one in Bath now.
I know, it's
up
huge.
And coming.
Oh my God, it is. There'll be one in Trowbridge next. So let's pick Barcelona.
Sure.
So I've come to you. I want 2 days. Does anyone just want 1 day? One night?
Not internationally. In the UK, yeah. We get a lot of that.
Yeah.
We do get a lot. And especially if it's like a party city. So you think like Liverpool, Manchester.
Yeah.
Like where you're going for just one major day and night out, then you'll get that. And those are quite a good option for people that just want to do, that are on a kind of smaller budget, or they've got a lot of friends that are mums, or have other, because, you know, fitting around everybody's lifestyle is really difficult, especially when you get into like your 20s and 30s.
Mm.
Everybody's life is so busy.
Mm.
So some people do just opt for one night, and that's also just as good. You can pack a lot into one night.
Well, quite. I remember it well. I watched at least 4 episodes of Vikings last night, so I know
they're
exactly
long as well.
What you're talking about.
Those are really long. I've got in a Married at First Sight hole at the moment. So.
Oh, stop. I was watching it this morning on my phone at 6 a.m.
I love it.
James was snoring next to me. I was watching maths.
I love
But then,
it.
Do you find... I'm sorry, I'm going off piece again. Sorry, Drew. Do you find that when you watch these programmes, I start talking like them?
Yes.
Like, the other day, he said it was like, you know what? You're just not taking accountability. Yeah. The fuck am I on about?
Suddenly I channel Lucinda.
Yeah. I just start talking like in Love Island. I was just like, look, can I just grab you for a chat?
Yeah.
And I like pick fights with him because my head's so in the space of this TV programme. So I want to go to Barcelona with me and Jen, and there's going to be 8 of us in total.
Lovely.
What next? How can you help me?
Well, it
depends.
Sort you out. Perfect. So you want accommodation?
I don't want to sleep on the street.
Well, exactly.
Not
so then what kind of accommodation do you want? Do you want apartments or do you want hotels?
Okay, I want apartment, but I want it to be really nice, like really bougie.
Sure. Okay.
So because I'm not a huge party person anymore because it's my second marriage and I'm in my mid-30s.
Isn't Jen getting married or are you?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Or are you marrying Jen?
I thought I was the bride.
Oh, no, that's fine. We can do yours. We don't need Jennifer Lawrence.
Whatever. Fine, Jennifer's getting married. So Jennifer's getting married. It's her second marriage. She's in her 30s. She's got a kid or two, whatever. She doesn't like going out big time. So she actually, like, the space is important. So it's not just like a somewhere clean to rest your head. It's like she actually wants a nice space to be
in. Yeah, of course. I mean, we can do that.
Because she's Hollywood, so.
She is Hollywood, absolutely. So we can sort out apartments for you. That's no problem. And then you'd look into kind of what's vital about the space for you. So we can find, you know, is it that you want like an area that you can gather in. A roof terrace, perfect. Well, we can ask our agents about that.
Okay.
So we found your apartments, your roof terrace.
Yeah.
Then you got to think about activities. What do you want to do? You said you're not a big party person, but I would always recommend if you're doing kind of a group hen party, especially if you're inviting Jennifer Lawrence and all her friends you may not know.
No, Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay, yeah.
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
Oh, I love Emma Stone.
As well. She and I, we had a fight, but we're over it now.
We're over it. Okay, that's good.
So would we do food and drink? We do like to drink.
Well, that's great because we like to...
The end.
Yeah, the end. That's
we like
it.
To pour.
We like to pour. So, I mean, with somewhere like Barcelona, I feel like you want to do something in the beginning that's kind of like a more of a bonding activity so that you can kind of get to know one another.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah, I think that's always good to start your weekend off with something like that. A lot of people go in with... Well, it's the Friday night and we're going to just do something low key.
Casual,
and it's like, no. Throw everyone in at the deep end.
Really?
Yeah, get everyone bonding.
What's the bonding activity?
Well, it depends. I mean, for somewhere like Barcelona, I'd always recommend something like wine tasting and tapas if you're that kind of person.
I am.
I'm definitely that kind of person, especially if there's cheese. Or something more kind of interactive, like a good cocktail mixing session. Those are always fun because they always play silly games with you. And
yeah.
It means that you have to pair up with people you don't necessarily know and you have to work as a team. And it's kind of, it's good to get past that initial level of awkwardness. Plus there's alcohol involved, so everybody always calms down a bit.
Everything's more fun. Yeah.
Everything is more fun there. If you're feeling really kind of...
Oh, hang on. What's she going to say? She's doing these little cheek on her.
If you're feeling really... You could do a strip dinner.
Pardon?
Yeah.
What's that? Like, just eat naked?
No. You're not naked. That's
I'm
okay.
I'm confused.
That would be really
you
breaking
be
the
so
ice, wouldn't it?
So careful what you eat if you eat naked.
You do... Nothing hot or drippy.
Nope. Oh. At the beginning of the night, you filthy bitch.
Cold foods only.
Yeah. You don't
salad.
Want a sirloin steak, do
you? No, you don't want a sirloin steak. But
what's
it's,
a strip dinner?
Well, it's exactly kind of what it sounds like, apart from you're not doing the stripping, someone else is.
So you're eating dinner and someone's just stripping in front
no,
of you?
No, you eat first.
That's disgusting.
You eat first, then you watch after.
Well, that I can get on board with.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a full tummy and a
oh
very...
my God, do you take people to Magic Mike?
We do Magic Mike.
I'm trying to convince my husband that that's like art.
Yeah.
It is though.
Yeah.
Drew's love. It is.
Yeah, it's performance art.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's performance art.
It's interpretive dance in the nude.
So you have a meal. I'm stuck on this. You have a meal. You're like, oh, gracias. Un más, le cuento, por favor. I speak Spanish. Thank you so much.
I'm impressed.
And then someone just comes in and strips you while you're...
Well, once you're
having
it's
a churros.
Yeah. Why not?
How fun. Does he get his willy out?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I thought that one would throw you off.
How, that's so totally throw me. I don't know if I'd want to see a willy and then eat, or eat and then see a willy.
I feel like you want to see a willy on a full stomach.
There's so much going on in my head right now. Okay, I might want to see a willy on a full stomach. Yeah. I don't want to do anything else with a willy on a full stomach.
Well, no, but nobody's asking you to. That's fine.
Oh, I see. It's not like an audience participation.
It's not interactive, no.
I do what? Given that you're going...
They don't allow audience participation at Magic Mike.
No.
Oh, don't they?
No, just so you're aware. No.
Oh, would I get arrested?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
That would be
you,
fun,
you
though.
You would. Don't do it.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I do want to talk to you about this hen, but before I forget... I went to a hen and I don't know if I've always been like this, but I, in my mind, I'm like a sort of 60-year-old divorcee overweight person when I flirt. So I don't think it's flirting because I just think it's like me, I don't know, having banter with young boys. That sounds weird. But I went to this hen party and they had a butler in the buff. For those who don't know, it's a naked man with a, I don't want to say a loincloth, an apron.
An apron, yeah. And normally like, little cuffs.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes they wear little cuffs
oh,
and a little
like
bow tie.
Shirt cuffs,
yeah.
Not like handcuffs.
No, not like handcuffs.
This is really, you're really bringing out the filth in me.
I am.
And they had a butler in the buff and we were playing that game where you have the cereal box on the floor. Do you know the one?
Yeah.
And you have a cereal box on the floor and you have to pick it up with your mouth.
Yeah.
And then every time one person or the circle does it, you take out more of the cereal box. So it gets lower and lower and lower and lower. You have to bend over to do it. And I kept trying to get the butler in the buff to do it so I could see his tackle.
I'm not sure if that's the angle I'd want to see the tackle from, behind
the
and
worst
over.
Angle. But I was just, angle. But then to me, because that's where I flirt, I didn't think I was flirting. I just thought it was funny. I was like, oh, God, oh, I kept dropping things. I kept dropping like my cutlery. I was like, oh, can you just pick that up, please, sir? And they're like, Livy, stop it. I was like, it's fine. It's because I'm, 60 and... I was like, you're not. You could actually shag him. So it's so sweet. Okay, so strip dinner. We'll go back onto that.
Yeah. I also have a butler in the buff story for you.
Oh, go on.
Well,
I've got a few of them, mind.
Have you?
I've got some really good hen stories. How apt.
How apt? I can't wait. Well, there was the one where it was actually a ex-partner's sister's hen party. And... she was having a great time. They ordered a butler in the buff. It was supposed to be a little surprise for her. Like this cheeky butler would turn up. And he turned up and she went, oh, hello, James. And it was some guy she went to school
husband.
With.
Some guy she was at school
some
with.
Some guy she was at school with, yeah. And her mum used to babysit him. So he's there to take all his clothes off in front of his old school friend from primary school and the woman that used to babysit him.
Did he stay?
Yeah.
Was he fit?
Well, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
See, my butler in the buff at my hen party, we nicknamed Spotty Botty.
Oh, no.
Because I think he must have shaved or something, because he had like a shaving rash on his ass.
Oh, no.
I know, bless his heart. He turned up on a motorbike, so we all had high hopes, and then he got into his kit, or out of it rather.
Yeah.
And he had a spotty botty.
I feel like that would hurt on a motorbike as well.
Yes, that would chafe.
That would chafe.
In his leathers.
That would be very uncomfortable. No,
Ellie, you're absolute filth to this podcast, so let's bring it back. Let's be professional.
Yeah, let's do that,
okay?
Sorry.
Let's be super professional now.
None of this has come from Ellie.
What? None of this. True.
That is a first, yeah.
Is Ellie normally the filth one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ellie! We should be drinking.
Kindred spirits. We should be having a glass of wine. Screw the coffee.
Lottie, message Tom and tell him to bring alcohol. Places.
Yes.
So I've said my three cities in the world, New York, Bath, Barcelona. If I had to pick for Jen's hen do, not mine, then I think actually Bath or Barcelona. But where are the most popular hen do destinations?
Sure. So Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
Because it's made. It's made for hen parties.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've only been on one night out there, and that was like 15 years ago.
Oh, it's a constant party.
Is it?
And we've got huge amounts of accommodation there. So there's just apartments everywhere, right in the city. Everything's within walking distance. There's loads of cool activities there. So you've got like, they do a bottomless brunch with a ball pit.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can just enjoy
Have
that.
Fun.
I know.
I mean, I have a child, so ball pits to me are quite different, but I like it.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, yeah.
Each to their own.
I always ask how they clean the balls, but you know.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Ellie. I'm trying to be professional.
Sorry.
Absolute squalor in her mouth.
It's a genuine question.
Liverpool.
Yep. Yeah. Liverpool. So they have like loads, there's a really big drag scene there. So you can do like drag shows, drag karaoke we do, which is really cool. Drag bar crawls.
So drag karaoke. You dress up and drag and then you sing, or the drag queens sing, or you sing only songs sung by drag queens?
Ooh. Mm. I mean, the drag queen is there. The drag queen sings. You sing. You sing with the
like
drag
host.
Queen. They're hosting, yeah.
Okay, cool. Love that. Love that.
Love that. But you could do all drags, songs only sung by drag queens.
I can't think of any.
No.
Not a single one.
No.
I was going to say Paula Grady, but was he a drag?
No, you mean you can't think of a single drag queen?
No, a drag queen that sings.
Oh, a drag queen that sings.
Dolly Parton songs, mainly.
Dolly Parton is a
woman. Yeah, well, is she? But I mean, no. Like famous drag queens that have songs.
I don't think there are any
RuPaul.
Songs that are like off limits.
RuPaul, does he sing?
Yeah, well, I mean,
probably.
Sing is loose.
Yeah, so is RuPaul. So Liverpool's got the scene. Where else? Where else is a big deal?
Bath is huge. For us.
Bath is fucking huge for Hendus.
Huge for Hendus.
I don't want to piss on your parade here, Ellie, but as a local, it drives me fucking mad every goddamn weekend.
Yep.
Every weekend, stags and hens.
Well, yeah.
Full of it.
Full of them.
Full of them.
Full of them. It's because it's such a cool city.
It is a very cool city, actually.
And I think it's
got everything, hasn't it?
Well, it's got everything. It's also got the accommodation style here is so sought after because it's a lot of self-catering, beautiful cottages, beautiful like townhouses, it's all Georgian. But also, talking from like a kind of female perspective, it's a very safe city. So
yes, that's true.
As a group of women wandering around at night, late at night, it feels very safe for you to be here. So I think that's part of what attracts a lot of our hen parties here is the safety aspect of it as well. It doesn't feel like a city where you're like,
yeah, well, it's
concerned.
Small as well, actually.
Yeah, everything's
really
walking
small.
Distance. Do not wear heels, though. Big tip.
Cobbles.
Cobbles everywhere.
I know.
Loose paving slabs all over the shop.
It's terrible. But also it's got the shopping, the spa, the nightlife, the bars,
spa.
The restaurants.
The spa is the one.
It's got everything.
It's got everything.
So Bath, Liverpool, beg your pardon?
Excuse me.
Cardiff, is that a thing?
Yeah, Cardiff is a thing. Yeah. Cardiff's pretty big. Bristol's pretty popular as well.
Bristol's ever so edgy.
Bristol is ever so edgy, isn't it? It is.
I'm not cool enough for Bristol.
It's ever so hip.
I think the cool people live in Bristol and the posh people live in Bath.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there.
It's like when we had, going off piste, it's like when we had those, what were they, like raids years ago, like just after we left uni, there was like a spout of people shoplifting. And in Bristol, it was really, really big. And I was working in a jeweller's at the time in Southgate in Bath. And we got a phone call that was like, it was all over the country. You nodding like you remember. Do you remember? Yeah. And it was like, it's awful. It's happening everywhere. Everyone's shoplifting and the alarms are going. It's like, it was awful all around the country. And then in Bath, one person tried to steal something and they were like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. And walked back into the shop and put it back.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That for me is the difference between Bath and Bristol.
100%. Also, Bristol is massive in my eyes.
Yes, 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 it is.
It's huge. Yes. It feels humongous when
people
you're there.
People are very cool.
People are so cool.
And it doesn't feel quite as safe.
No. Definitely doesn't feel quite as safe. But it's a cool city.
It's a very cool city.
Great nightlife.
Clubbing.
Yeah. Mm. If you're going to go clubbing. If that's your jam.
Do people go to London?
Yes, people go to London. I mean, I think people underestimate London because it is huge. It often involves a lot of travel around.
Yes, that's true, actually.
And I feel like if you're going for a weekend, London is a great place because it has so many unique things that you can do. There's like the Crystal Maze and the Cube and all that kind of stuff. That's really cool. But you have to be prepared to do a lot of walking and spend a lot of time on the tube.
Yeah. That's which not everyone wants to do, I suppose, do they?
Not when you've only got a weekend.
I think if I was doing a night, I would do London.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A day and a night.
Yeah.
But you're right, it is so big.
It's so
But then wouldn't
so
you
vast.
Just pick one area?
You could do, but then it depends on where you what you're looking for. Because if you're looking for a specific activity,
yeah,
it's going to be based in one area, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's based in an area where there's other good items around it. Because often they're draws for that area, if that makes sense.
Do you find that people quite often organise a hen do local to where the bride is?
No.
Or it doesn't, location doesn't matter in terms of proximity to where people live?
No, not really. I think now, what we're seeing now, especially post-pandemic, is people go for a specific thing and often it's accommodation. There's been a huge rise in like people wanting self-catering and self-contained hen do's because I think people are moving away from clubbing and they're moving away from that nightlife scene. And I think there's like some stats I read the other day about like, the generation after us just drink massively less. And I'm like, it's probably less childhood trauma, but, you know. It's going to be kind of like moving into wellness and...
Oh, God.
Yeah, yoga and
what,
all
like,
that kind of stuff.
Like Lottie's generation. What gen are you? Gen Z?
Z, yeah.
You're Z? Gen Z, yeah. Gen Z? 99? Jesus Christ.
I know. No, honestly, one of the placement
students... That's when the dialogue came in, darling.
One of the placement students we had was like 2001, and I thought, oh, this is the end of my life. I'll retire now. I can't.
No, I'm not on board with this wellness bollocks. Very excited because it's Thursday, so I'm going to have a drink tonight.
Thirsty Thursday. we're seeing, though, that like people coming for specific kinds of accommodation, so they're looking for... Something where
you
they
think
can
that get... dictates almost the whole style of the whole hen.
Oh, hugely.
Really?
A lot of people, yeah. You get there's two types of people really that are looking for these kind of things. So the party people, they'll head to your party cities.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that are like
a nice, dignified affair.
Yes, but they're also the naughtiest most of the time.
Oh, they are the naughtiest.
They are the naughtiest, yeah. Like they're the most debaucherous, but in private. Yeah.
Oh my God, that could be like the title of our autobiography.
That ours, me
yes,
and Jen.
Yes, we're living together now.
Excellent.
We've become life partners.
We have. Well, that's great.
See, now that would be, let's throw Jen Lawrence out the door. If it was my hen, that would be, and that is kind of what I did. For my hen, because you asked, I said to my sister-in-law, my maid of honour who was organising it, I just want it to be at, somewhere, even if it's at my own parents' house, but somewhere where it's just very low-key and it's just my closest girlfriends and I don't, like, it's really relaxed. For me, it was all about having the people there.
Yeah.
And we did actually do it at my parents' house. We kicked out my brother and my dad.
Yeah, get out.
There's about 10 of us. And I live on a farm and there's a swimming pool and it was the summer, so we were swimming and drinking and we had Spotty Botty and we had a tapas man come and cook a paella. In a big dish. And then the next day we just drank by the pool. I was on the mimosas at sort of 9 a.m.
Perfect.
Afternoon tea.
Yeah.
And then a nice dinner. And then the next day a lunch. So we didn't actually do anything as such.
But that's what you want
But that is what I wanted. And when you say about this move to more, less night out and all this stuff and more relaxed. See, that's what if I was doing it now, I would still want that. I would pick a really gorgeous country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly that. And we've kind of... we're moving away a little bit from, because we have all our city locations, and that used to be the traditional way that people wanted to go have a big night out and they would really go for it. And now we've started moving into country retreats and more rural areas.
Because that's becoming more popular.
Because that's where people want to go. And you have these amazing properties, but they're not near any city, but they're just in the middle of nowhere, but they're stunning. And they have, you know, all those things that you want, swimming pools and hot tubs and all these, like these massive dining spaces. And some of them have pool tables and basement bars and all sorts of things.
That's cool.
Really cool. We just got one on board that has like a cave bar underneath it.
Oh, where's that?
Oh, I think it's in Wales somewhere, I believe.
Well, you lost me. people
maybe,
from Hull,
maybe come
Wales.
Yeah.
Just checking our listeners.
Yeah. I would check on that.
Block out Wales, Drew. Block out Wales.
But we've kind of got this move now into this more rural thing, and I get it because, to be honest, inherently at my heart, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
So once I'm there,
as well,
I want to just be there.
Yeah. My favourite vibe, and it has been actually since I was mid-20s, is not, I mean, I love getting ready to go out. I prefer that to going out, but it's actually wearing like all glam and then just being at home with no shoes on.
Yes.
And dancing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's kitchen my disco. Favorite thing in life is dancing in the kitchen.
That is, I am the connoisseur of a kitchen disco.
Oh.
Love
I think we're falling in love.
I think you might be.
On air.
On air.
What activities could you put on though for in the arse end of nowhere countryside?
See, this
hen?
Is where people kind of, this is where people stutter a little bit or they worry, but you can do so many things. So we have mobile silent discos, so we can send all the equipment and you have your own silent
Talk
disco.
Talk to me about that. I'm not a big silent discoer.
Are you not? I feel like you'd love it.
I've only done one in Barcelona.
And how was it for you?
I didn't enjoy it.
Really?
I like my discos loud.
Oh, fair. I mean,
are you into it? Is it really popular?
It is popular, yeah. And
is
I think
it?
I think it's great because it's like, when you take your headphones off and you just look at everybody.
Yeah, no, that is fun.
Oh, it's so good. And everybody, because you can do two different stations, so you can have like, you know, certain genres on different ones. Everybody's dancing to a different beat. It's great. It looks mental from the outside.
Yes, that's true. So you can do a silent disco. Could you do like massages?
Yeah, massages, cocktail making. You can do life drawing. We can do, even if you've got the grounds, you can do sports days. And
I do like the vintage sports day.
We love an old school sports day, especially a beanbag race.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, love it. We did one recently, didn't we? Were you there? Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
I love old school sports day. One of my favourite sports day activities when I was at primary school was in the swimming pool that had no heating, obviously. That's someone coming to resurrect me from my heart attack because you're so filthy on this podcast. And you would have your pyjamas either side of the pool and you'd have to like jump in your cosy and then you'd swim across a width, put the pyjama top on, swim back across, put the giant bottoms on, swim back across, put your dressing gown on, swim back. It was hard work.
That is hard work. It also sounds like a real drowning hazard, doesn't it?
When you think we were so young.
Yeah, health and safety back then was not what it is now.
Yeah, it's like a freezing cold pool in the middle of
and then you're putting
pit.
On heavy wet clothes.
I'm so excited by the idea. Vintage sports day. Okay, so I'm going to admit something to you now.
Go on.
And it's probably the worst thing that I could admit to a person who works for a company called GoHen.
That's okay. So you look stressed.
I struggle with organised fun.
Oh, I think everybody does.
Okay, thank God. I thought you were going to be like, why the fuck are you talking to me?
No.
But isn't that essentially what GoHen is, organised fun?
Well, I guess if you look at it like that, yes. But I mean, what are you going to do otherwise in terms of, I would say organised fun is the wrong phrase because actually you have kind of certain things booked at certain times, but it's more about enhancing the flow of your day rather than
yes.
Organizing fun and bonding. It's not like a team, you know, like when you go to work and they do corporate activities.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to team bond.
Or like you're at one of those all inclusives in Lanzarote and they're like, come on, everybody.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
No, it's not like that. And also because the other alternative is, you know, what else are you planning on doing?
Drinking.
Well, yes. But
drink, I drink, I eat, I talk.
There we go. Perfect. But we do all of those things.
But it's all activity based. This is what I'm. This is what I personally
struggle
with. And I get it,
yeah.
But I just, yeah.
I mean,
I want you to convert me.
Well, I mean, I think it's that it depends on the type of activity you're looking at as well. Because obviously, you love an old school sports day.
Yeah.
That is organized fun.
The thing is, as you're saying this to me, I know I would have fun.
Yeah, you would love it.
I think it's just the concept of the idea of, right, at 3 o'clock, we're going to have fun. Fuck off, Sally.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'll let you know when I'm going to have fun, all right?
And I mean, it's things like, so if you go rural and you're in your property and you're hen do, because it's not Jen's anymore, we've sacked her off.
Yeah, it's now not your Jen's, hen-do. Mine, yeah. It's Olivia Colman's hen do.
It's
yeah.
Olivia Colman's, not that Olivia Colman, but Olivia Colman's hen do.
Yeah.
This and Olivia Colman. You have your, this, I personally the better one.
Thank you.
You have your old school sports day, but also you can do your butler in the buff. You can have Spotty Botty back if you want.
Oh, yeah.
The reprise of Spotty Botty. Yes. but you could also have your mobile therapist, so you can do...
Yes,
like
that's
a really,
good.
Yeah, so that is wonderful, either on a Saturday morning or a Sunday, just before you go.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So you can have your treatments, and it gives you a moment of pampering. And you've got to remember as well, a lot of... I don't know about your friend group, but a lot of my friend group they have kids or yeah. they have a really busy career, and their weekends, they don't always want it to be full on.
No, they want to relax.
Yeah. So we can get in a private chef. So you have your dinner cooked for
you. Yes, now we're talking. Now we're cooking on gas.
We can do wine and cheese tasting. Yeah, so whilst good. That comes under organised fun, I feel like that is...
No, this is good.
Delicious.
You're very good at your job. She's very good at her job, everyone.
You tell Steve that.
What, Steve! Steve! because you're selling it to me.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that, you know, and then you can do something...
This is my speed. What you've done is you've read me and you're coming at me with things that I want to hear. If you came at me personally... And was like, right, we're going to do some glass blowing at 10.
Yeah.
And then we're going to learn how to play chess at midday. And then we're going to do some archery in the woods.
No.
I tell you to fuck off.
Yeah, I would tell me to fuck
off
then too.
That's what I want.
Oh. Yeah, I'll come to you with that, Tree. Don't
glass
worry.
Blowing, chess and archery. That's what I mean though. Yeah, he has a bow and arrow tattooed on him. But that's what I mean. So that for you.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
There we go.
So this is oh, you're good.
Different strokes.
Oh, this
for different
is very
friends.
Very good. Go hen is very
I'm
good.
I'm not even talking. It's my perfect stack.
Genius team. What a wonderful
what a
company. That's very clever. So this week's RSVP is a lovely DM from Maria, and she writes, "Hi Olivia, I really enjoy your podcast, so thank you. My fiance and I want to book a photo booth, but I really don't want it to be cheesy. I want it to be fun and classy, if that's even possible. Any tips? Thanks, Maria." You know, 6 or 7 years ago, or even longer, I feel like when photo booths started becoming a thing, I wasn't a fan personally, because they were kind of all cheesy, and it was a real look, a real vibe that wasn't my vibe. But like I always say, weddings are the most personal thing. So if it's your vibe, go for it, you know? But nowadays, I do see them becoming more modern and more... trendy? Does that make me sound old? Trendy. But like more TikTok-y. That makes me sound old. They're more of a style than they are just a cheesy photo booth with faux flowers. Like quite often now there are companies out there where instead of a photo booth as such, someone comes and they set up a backdrop, which could even be just a completely plain white piece of fabric, and then they have a bag of props and they have a camera set up. Like, it's more technical than that, obviously. But it's a different vibe nowadays. It's less about making guests look stupid and more about having fun and having a collection of photos where everyone is kind of in the same setting, in the same scene. So it's very coherent, and that is Instagram, TikTok, social media friendly, I suppose. So look around, because I think nowadays there are some different companies out there. There is a company that I've mentioned before, actually. Yeah, so there's a company called That Prop Guy Limited, and they do like really cool, classy, fun photo booths, as well as other stuff. But that's like something that's cool. I like their style, I like their vibe. Also, don't just do research into the services they offer, but also the people behind them, because speaking from experience, as someone who doesn't like particularly forced entertainment or dressing up, I'm a real hoot. For me, it's the person behind the camera, the person who's part of the photo booth team, and the supplier themselves that make it more fun, because it's like they relax you and they make it less serious and less like you have to perform, more like, right, just grab something. And also, top tip, have it towards the end of the night when people are pissed. Do you know what I mean? Because then people are way more likely to make a tit out of themselves. I hope that helps, Maria. Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world. If you find this podcast even remotely helpful or moderately entertaining, share with all your friends and family. You can DM me any questions, queries, if you want to share any stories on the podcast Instagram at I'll Marry You Podcast. Get in touch. I want to hear all your tall tales. See you soon.
I'll Marry You is a podcast by Olivia Coleman. The music is Mr. Sunnyface by Wayne Jones, and the show is produced and edited by Drew Toynbee.